Hey yo, here we go. So we talk comics. It is episode number 86. We're calling this one retro comic book gaming, something like that. What else? You guys got a better name?
That's pretty glamorous. It's pretty
retro.
You really stuck the landing on that one.
Retro comic gaming is what it's called. Retro comic gaming. Because we played a bunch. We got out the emulators. We played a whole crap load of games from the 16-bit and 8-bit era based on comic
and
books.
And the half a bit.
We went pretty hardcore on this thing. So we're going to talk about those. We're beers around the patio style here because Chris is in town recording. We'll probably record so much content here. Who knows how many shows this will be split out into and what we're going to do here.
This may be the last episode we record, but we can just keep going. We'll be like Prince. We can just keep releasing parts of this episode.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Having retired.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's going to be a good time, though. We'll do this. We'll at some point get ourselves some wings. We'll put up with the noise from the neighbors. We'll have the beer or the bird in the background. We'll all be drinking. We're going to introduce ourselves. I am Mo. We're going to introduce ourselves by what we're drinking. And I got vodka mud shake. I got the tropical banana, which sucks, and the pina colada, which I'm hoping won't. Chris?
All right. I'm Chris. To keep up with the Mo's pussified theme, I've got a blueberry beer and pump house variety, of course. And I've also got a chocolate bunny stout.
Yeah, I really like me my foo-foo drinks, so enough of that. It's nothing wrong with it. Brad?
That's a macho, like, chocolate bunny.
No.
That's butching it up there.
I said I was keeping up with his foo-foo. Yeah,
that's true. That's true. You guys are just fighting a battle.
I'm winning.
I got me some Alexander Keith's Premium White right now. I'm a big fan of the white beer.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. I'm Keith, and I'm drinking Rickard's Blonde, which is a light ale. And next in the queue is one of Moe's vodka mudshake pina colada, which I'm glad I grabbed before he realized that he doesn't so much like the banana one. he might not have said yes to the pina colada.
I also
have some Fireball Shooter.
Oh, there you go.
Cinnamon whiskey. So that may come out a little later, and we'll that may have to be at its own episode. Once we get the cinnamon whiskey.
Well, at least we'll have a good name for that one.
It'll be Beers Under the Patio.
We talk comics after dark.
Patio's Revenge. Yeah, hey, Brett, you also got yourself a regular Keith's there going for when you're done this
There's
one.
Regular Keith's, and I'm going to try one of Chris's blueberries.
We're good to go. What's that one with the red label there?
That's the blueberry.
That's the blueberry? It's okay. All right, I just assumed since it was blueberry, its cap would be blue. I don't know what I was thinking there.
Apparently. Well, I believe because it's from Pump House. So.
And,
Keith has
a crunchy snack, which means, as he always does, it's good odd.
All right,
well, if you've ever listened to the Beers of the Patio style, obviously it's a little bit different than our regular record, and so it's okay, Keith, make as much noise as you want. of course, he did that just because he knew it would piss Brad off. yes, all right, so...
We were at the Max on the way over here, and I said, I need the crunchiest sounding thing I can find, just so that I can open that up right as we're recording.
And that was what you chose, really?
Well, he wouldn't eat the corn nuts I suggested.
Because corn nuts totally were good.
I don't know if my teeth could survive.
But I did suggest, though, he tries that crunch bar, and then he let me know that that's not actually that crunchy. Which is ironic.
Well, it's not terribly good. Yeah. It's got a fit, but
it doesn't have the automatopoeia of crunchy that you'd think.
No. All right, so anyways.
Nice use of automatopoeia on the actual podcast.
I'm really working my university degrees off a buck at a time.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's not like you work in a field where your university degree comes in all that handy.
No.
All right, so there aren't many fields that are that do. It's fine.
So, like I say, retro comic book gaming, because there's probably some news that happened in San Diego and it's old now. Is there anything big you guys want to talk about before we get to this? You guys want to talk about the Superman Batman movie or anything else that happened there that's a big news that you need to throw out there because it's bugging you and you haven't had a chance to get it off your chest yet. You haven't had your what do you call it?
moment in the sun.
Well, let's I did ask for Twitter questions. We'll see during the many, many hours of recording.
Yeah, ask for more than one. Everybody asked for them except for me because my phone isn't hooked up to my Twitter.
We did get it's because you brought up Superman Batman. That's the question that I got back from our pal Andy Samaritan93. Who won at San Diego? World's Finest, which is Batman Superman, or Age of Ultron? So those are the two big movie announcements. Superman Batman, which is currently unnamed. It may be Superman versus Batman, it may be Batman versus Superman, it could just be Superman Batman, it could be World's Finest, we don't know yet. They haven't decided because they haven't written the script yet what it's going to be called. And then we have Avengers 2 Age of Ultron. Which was the bigger deal? Which is the...
I don't think it's even a question. Superman, Batman, we had no idea where they were going on that one. And on Avengers, we just got a subtitle.
Yeah, but does
of
it
a crappy series.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering, so this Avengers 2, you're saying, Age of Ultron, what happened to the Thanos reveal at the end then? Is that...
That is the question that was one of the first questions. The first question, of course, being, oh my God, please no. It's not based on Age of Ultron, is it?
That's not so much. Yeah, you managed to work that into a question eventually.
Yeah, I did get that into a question, yeah. I had to put there was an ellipsis in that one.
Yeah.
$2. Written off $2 of that $50,000 and just...
$50,000 per year.
I went to Canadian university.
So yeah, but you went for 15 years.
Felt like it. Yes, I think everyone's initial reaction to Age of Ultron was, is it really based on the Age of Ultron miniseries that, like, there were fans of, but just not a whole lot of them?
Well, there were lots of people buying the book, but...
There were. It took them about a half hour to announce that it's not based on the comic.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people buying the book. Were they buying it, though, because they were waiting for whatever the big reveal was going to be at the end of issue 10? Isn't that
perhaps.
Right?
I mean, issue 10 did sell better than... it's not necessarily the story quality. I can't say I read it, but I know that the quality of the people who were involved in it were definitely the kind of people who sell books. Mm-hmm. You know, whether they enjoyed it, whether perhaps on its own, it's a fine story.
I did read all the way to the end, it's hard. I mean, it's hard to tell because I'm within most of the people I chat with are DC folks. So, and you know, except for our pal Aaron Long, Marvel Zombie. So it's hard to tell what man on the street Marvel fan thought of it. I despised it so much that I actually wrote an entry for the Read Between the Lines, begging people to explain what the ending actually was not meant. I understood the meaning of it. What happened in the book was what I didn't understand.
Nice, yeah. Because my only thing is that I could easily see how you wouldn't like it versus the current continuity or lack thereof, you know, and...
That was one of my problems with the book, is that they insisted going in over and over that it took place in the Marvel Now continuity, not that they had rebooted, but that it took place in present day. They did the AU tie-in books that made it look like it took place in the present day, and by the end of the book you realize that it takes place like 2 years back. That it takes place, you know, far back.
Back when they started writing it.
Yeah, exactly. That's when it takes place.
Yeah.
That the point at which that the Age of Ultron universe and the regular Marvel universe diverged was two and a half years back in continuity. And that's
awfully confusing.
Yeah, it is. And because they come to the end and they show you the point at which it diverges. And the point at which it diverges was that, like, Avengers 12 or whatever that started this whole thing.
And then I still don't understand the idea of Avengers 2, Age of Ultron. Okay, it's not based on this. Then why use the name?
It is a good name.
Oh, yeah, but there's a lot of good names.
I mean, it's a really good name.
Well, and
Wolverine Origins isn't based on... Wolverine isn't based on Wolverine Origins.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with that. I mean, you use a good name when you have a good name. I mean, it's going to be interesting because... I mean, now, and I could be wrong, but somebody mentioned to me that... Hank Pym hasn't technically been introduced, so he it won't be him who creates Ultron in the Avengers movies.
Isn't it?
This is Andy's second question.
isn't he supposed to be in the upcoming Captain America movie?
No, he is in the Ant-Man movie.
Okay.
Whether he's in the Captain America movie or not, we don't know, but they have said he's not in the Avengers movie. And that, I mean, I don't think they've officially said, but the assumption is that it will be Tony Stark who creates Ultron.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's, like...
So yeah, what does it do for Thanos, though?
Thanos is going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, that's what I would think, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, they did officially announce that at San Diego, that Thanos, because that was the second or third question that came up automatically, was you've introduced Thanos at the end of the Avengers movie. Everyone assumed that the second Avengers movie. I actually always assumed he'd be in Guardians. Whether he was going to be in Guardians and then...
Well, you didn't always assume, because it wasn't Guardians announced after Avengers came out?
Well, now I don't know.
And... No, we have to remember that the Cosmic Cube was entered, or the Tesseract. The Tesseract,
which was everyone listening before. To our show is going to call it the Cosmic Cube.
Yeah,
it's the Cosmic Cube. I don't care. Yeah.
It's the Cosmic Cube. Yeah. Was introduced several movies before we actually got to play with it. Yeah,
was it introduced in Captain America.
Captain America. Like, yeah, and Thor.
Thor was introduced in Thor.
Thor.
Okay.
Yes,
Thor.
Yeah, it was Thor, and then we saw it again in Captain America.
Captain America.
Yeah. Thor was our first.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the post-credits in Thor, and then it was... And then we found the origin of it in Captain America.
That's right, yeah.
And, so yes, Thanos is one of the villains in Guardians. We've seen a couple others that are going to turn up. Collector is in it, played by Benicio Del Toro. And, Avengers 2, they've only started kind of talking about. They haven't said that there's a finished script yet. Actually, Sam Jackson said there is, and Joss Whedon said there isn't. So I don't know who's telling.
Well, Sam Jackson's already talking about Phase 2 as well. So I mean,
well, this is all Phase 2 now. I mean, everything after Avengers is Phase 2.
Just to get back to Andy's question about who wins, all I can tell you is that where I work, there's not a lot of comic book people, and everybody heard about World's Finest and was asking me about it. Or, you know, they weren't asking about Age of Ultron. So if that's your basis on who wins, it's Batman, Superman. To a casual audience, that's a much bigger deal.
It is. I mean, it is right now, because I think if you had announced Batman, Superman at the same time that they announced Avengers, then Avengers 1, perhaps it's different. You know, but now, I mean, Avengers 1 has already happened. This is just a sequel. I mean, everybody knew there was going to be a sequel. It's a giant movie.
Yeah.
So, I mean...
Maybe it's not the direction they expected, but it is happening. Whereas Superman, and you also have to keep in mind, with Man of Steel being the third or fourth highest grossing movie of the summer, of the year, it looks like.
Yeah, I mean, we knew there was going to be a sequel.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, this is a different
thing. I do understand from what I've heard, I don't know if you've heard this, apparently Adam West will not be returning as Batman. Anyways, go on.
I thought that R.I.P.D. was the third highest grossing movie of the summer. But, you know.
It was the third grossest.
It won't even be the third highest grossing It won't even be the third highest grossing of a movie based on an independent comic, let alone. I mean, Kick-Ass 3, and there'll be something else.
Red.
And Red.
Red's
will both,
too.
Will both gross more than R.I.P.D.
Yeah, it already did.
Coming out of Comic-Con, though. X-Force.
Sorry, we never actually wrapped up the other one.
Yeah.
before we go on to... Actually, I hadn't written X-Force down, but good.
Well, to borrow from Peter David, but I digress. Yeah.
So, I gotta say, my focus group of one, my wife, who's not a comic reader, so she's one of my check-in points for non-comic readers who love the geeky movies, though. I asked her about. I told her about both of them. She had read about them, and I said, "Batman, Superman, Avengers, Age of Ultron. Which one gets you?" And she said, "Her honest words were, what's an Age of Ultron?"
Yeah.
And she didn't like Man of Steel, actually, for different reasons than most people that didn't like it.
Than Mo?
different reasons than Mo, and different reasons than Brett told
Mo. I have nothing against that movie.
than Chris told Mo.
I have nothing against that movie.
The she loves Batman, even though knowing it's going to be a new Batman, she wants to. She's interested, and Henry Cavill would likely be without a shirt for at least part of the movie, so she's back.
Well, if that's all it takes to get her to a movie, I'll take my shirt off. We'll get her to listen to our. If I take my shirt off, I'll get her to listen to the podcast.
She doesn't even watch movies of me. Have me with my shirt off.
That was a great Henry choice, Cavill. Chris. I'm glad it's big.
Yes, chocolate bunny, not a good idea for a beer.
That's why he tried to get us to taste it, and we
went,
no. I can
smell that from here. It smells like hot chocolate.
Oh, my. It doesn't taste like hot chocolate.
We've got to pass it around.
All right, now I got to try it. Now, I'm going to say, pina colada is tastier than the tropical banana vodka milk.
All right, for all you listening at home, chocolate bunny, chocolate stout. Now you this is the point where you
unsure. Oh, that's awful. Yeah.
We should have. Oh, God. It's. I should not have smelled that.
No.
Oh.
Don't.
Oh, it's like the brown cow chocolate milk that's gone off of it.
Yeah. Carbonated.
Oh my God! I don't know how something that it's cold.
Oh, for a second there, I thought I could pretend that I liked it.
There's no pretending that you liked it.
I was gonna do the traditional. Well, I liked it, but no. Even ingest, I can't.
You know what? I really appreciate my banana tropical now.
I need something else.
Anything.
That was something else, Chris. Very good.
Chris, that's nice. I don't know how something, it's cold, like it's cold, a cold flavor, it's like a chocolate flavor, and it's cold to touch, and yet it burned. I don't understand how it burned.
It smells like cheap chocolate milk that you get from from the dollar store, and it's called
smells like the kind of thing
Choco Melt,
where you have to squirt the chocolate flavor into it.
Yeah,
it's almost like that. No, it's almost squirted the chocolate flavor.
Well, if you taste like if you took some chocolate flavor and squirted it into some sort of cologne and then drank it, is what it tastes like.
I drank other things and I can still taste it.
I know, it won't get out of your mouth no matter what you do. And I had the smallest sip because as soon as it hit my tongue, I almost.
See, though, if we have the hot wings later, we know that will coat your mouth like nothing else.
That's true.
To get rid of the spicy.
We'll be fine then.
Oh, awful.
That was painful.
Okay.
Let's talk X-Force.
What lineup are they going to use?
Oh, let me tell you something, Chris. That beer is an X-Force of nature.
I hope that Chocolate Bunny's one of the characters, but...
They have not said what the lineup is. They have not said which era they're basing this on. Although Rob Liefeld did leak this in advance, so clearly... I mean, he probably Marvel's deal. He gets a couple of points no matter what if it's called X-Force.
But it would make more sense coming out of the Fox X-Men universe to do the modern incarnation of X-Force, where Wolverine is leading a team...
I don't know.
That's what we need.
Is a Wolverine and X-Force movie more logical than just doing another Wolverine movie? I mean, are they better off starting fresh with just, like, staying in the same universe but starting with a fresh lineup? Which is what the original set.
Yeah, but you also look at that original lineup, it's pretty goofy.
It is kind of an odd... most of them are characters we haven't seen already in the X-Men movies.
Which is good.
And... I mean, they have no problem introducing new characters. That's one of the
Guardians
concerns
of the Galaxy.
Well, it's one of the concerns. Well, that's
Marvel.
Fox
this here.
Is, yeah. This is Fox. I mean, Days of Futures Past. That's I've seen that come up. A couple of people have expressed concern about the number of characters.
Chris, drinking that?
Because
he paid for it.
He paid money.
Oh,
for
I'm
it.
Sorry.
He's going to pass it around. We're all going to have another drink just to be sure.
Well, I'll bring out glasses later. So
I'm putting this to the side.
The chocolate bunny beer is now the equivalent of when you open the milk in the fridge and go, I think this has gone bad. Please smell it.
I think this has gone chocolate bunny.
I think this is horrible. Can you want to give it a try?
I want hashtag chocolate bunny trending.
I think Cable is the biggest
chocolate bunny beer.
Cable is the biggest character in the X universe that has not been in a film yet.
Yeah, and I think that I'd be shocked if Cable isn't.
We know Bishop is in Days of Futures Past. Gambit was in Wolverine Origins. Who else is out? Who else is at least in the comic world known as much as
that? Far as hero? Maybe there might be some villains that you could argue are bigger.
Well, I mean, that's true. I mean, and maybe to Chris's point, something like the Apocalypse Sanction, was that the name of the X-Force story?
Mm.
The first,
I think so.
The
first
the X-Sanction, was it?
I just can't imagine them introducing Boom Boom and Richter into a cinematic universe.
No, that's
characters
true.
That have no traction whatsoever.
Domino.
But why does it have to be? Yeah, why does it have to be the characters that people don't know? Why can't you just pick the characters that are most familiar that have once been part of this that haven't been introduced?
We're going to have a whole mess of new characters introduced in Days of Future Past that we won't get a huge amount of time on. But I mean, a lot of them in the other X-Men, three X-Men movies, you didn't get a huge amount of time. I mean, you could do an X-Force.
A lot of the times they would show somebody, show their powers, and never once mention their name or what those powers were. Just quickly show it, you know?
I mean, that happened in the... Yeah, that happened in the first X-Men movie where you saw Kitty Pryde.
Yeah, or Colossus, same
and
thing,
you saw
right?
Colossus.
Yeah.
And they weren't actually named, and then a different actress was cast as Kitty Pryde later when she was given a name.
Yeah, but still. That's...
But I mean, we all knew from the powers who it was.
Yeah.
I don't know, I kind of expect... more of the original, but not necessarily those characters. I mean, some of them are going to look good on... And Boom Boom's not going to look good on film.
No.
That character just doesn't quite work. Like, it's
Fenrir. Also, I can't imagine.
Feral?
The Wolfsbane, sorry.
Feral.
How about Jubilee? Yeah.
Star Shatter.
Shatterstar?
Shadowstar. Oh, my God, that's going to be awful.
He's a Shatterstar.
That
Longshot
is,
hasn't been.
He
Longshot,
is.
Longshot would be great.
Longshot's another well-known character. Hasn't
Longshot,
been.
Yeah.
But actually, Shatterstar would be easy. Shatterstar.
Well, Shatterstar is. Let's face it. I mean, if Liefeld's going to get points anyways, because that's the character you look at. You go, boy, that is Liefeld. That is a work of Liefeld right there.
The double sword.
Yeah,
I love the double sword. I'd love to see a real life.
I do think it'll be Cable, but I don't know what else. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they
Cable the next
with. With Singer really kind of hands on with the X movies now again, and the idea of building out this as a more complex universe, you know, we're up to what are we at? We'll have six X movies.
Just out of curiosity, Chris, did you already see Wolverine here? Did you see
Wolverine? I have not seen Wolverine.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you
I was going to a 10 o'clock show, and then it was far too late for me.
The Wolverine?
Yeah, we're old folks. We fall asleep at 10.
I'm back and forth on it. I mean, I hated Origins so much, but I know it's a new...
It looks to me...
But it's a different director.
From everything I've heard and seen, it does appear that they are trying to say, this is the Wolverine movie for the Wolverine fans, and forget that other one.
Yeah, I mean, the Twitter stuff that I've seen on it has been...
I've seen some positive...
Fantastic, really.
Yeah, and a lot of it is in the context of... I know we all hated Wolverine Origins, but I'm usually pretty strong on not seeing sequels to movies I didn't like. But with a new director, or maybe I've like I said, I have the only negatives I've heard is that there are third act problems, and that there are parts that are a bit campy, which is not a word I like to hear when I'm going to a movie. I'm not a big fan of campy anymore.
No, but they. I'm a huge fan of camp. However, when they put it in a review, it's campy. Most often, it's being misused as it's bad, and we're making excuses for it.
Yeah,
there's a difference between that.
Yeah, it's like when someone calls it comic booky. That they don't mean
they
that
don't
it
mean
looks
comic,
like a comic
yeah.
book. They mean it seems like Archie.
One of my least favorite uses of the word comic booky. It's not true.
Yeah.
But what they call comic booky has so little to do with comic
Well, no, I mean, comic no, not
are.
Necessarily. When they're saying that they're calling something comic booky, usually what they're trying to say is it's incredibly implausible what they're asking us to believe. And guess what? We accept what's in comic books, but that's because we're willing to accept the implausible. So, I mean, that's fine. I ain't no problem with that.
like the Archie movie.
implausible.
Which one? Back to Riverdale?
No. Awesome. Well, no, they're doing another Archie movie.
Oh yeah, right. They only did the one Back to Riverdale movie. So is this one a reboot or is just a?
I think it wasn't the Back to Riverdale just a TV special.
Just a TV movie. Yeah.
So this one's a theatrical movie.
Ah, so it's the first theatrical.
And I have read that it's bad because it's my least favorite comic book writer of all time writing it.
What's that?
Robert Aguirre Sacasa.
What's he write?
Nothing now, but he's the guy who wrote that the Fantastic Four season one.
Oh god.
And Fantastic Four for Marvel Knights and such. But But the talk is that they're going to introduce Archie and zombies in the live action movie, and I'm like, WTF?
What was that Archie Mysteries or whatever? Is it going to be like that then, maybe? It's going to be Archie meets Scooby-Doo? Is that what we're looking at, or?
I don't know. I mean...
Hey, look, yeah. Zombies are money.
I like the Scooby-Doo
movies. Oh, zombies are totally money now.
I like the Scooby-Doo movies.
That's all right. Anything else?
You know the bad guy in one of them? Scrappy.
I'd love to see a Life with Archie movie. That Life with Archie is an awesome comic book, actually.
It is really good. Yeah. Oops. I don't know. I guess it depends on what they want to aim it at. Theatrical, you have to go a bit broader than. The tween and teen audience is money in the bank right now.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised to see them. Something like Life with Archie may sell to that audience.
Tyler, yeah, but then we get Archie.
See, you know, I'm afraid we're going to end up with Sabrina the Teenage Witch type audience if we go for the tweens. If they go for the tweens.
Just
in which case,
Archie,
I won't see it.
I gotta say that I am looking forward to in a couple of years using the phrase, this is not my Archie Andrews.
Which I may do
no matter what it turns out like.
What actually will be your Archie Andrews is the question.
No idea.
And will they introduce the gay character?
Yeah.
Yes. I kind of think they will.
Yeah,
I'd be shocked if they didn't introduce Kevin.
Yeah, For sure they will. Just tell an Archie book that's the pure innocence of fun of Archie and go from there, Archie movie. So, any other news from this come around here we want to hit, or we want to get to those wee views of these games?
Or should we go to the wings?
Yeah, what's the plan here?
6:30, yeah.
Oh, so we've been going for a while here already, huh?
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
Well, we can pause.
Do you have any more news items?
I have a couple of news items.
Let's just hit those and then we'll do the wings.
Yeah, sure. I was looking for the wings to get the taste of chocolate bunny out of my mouth.
But I don't think they make a wing that strong, do they?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I will say that if we're going to do hot wings, let's keep that chocolate bunny on hand. That's going to kill anything that's happening in your mouth.
Yeah, but is it worth it?
If you've got tooth decay, that's going to have taken care of it. If you have picked up any kind of infection, it will be gone.
Yeah.
If you ever felt joy.
All right, so what else
also,
we got for news here?
Also gone. Comixology in their panel at San Diego announced that they have digitally... Well, they uploaded it. You downloaded it. Their 180 millionth comic. I'd say about half of that's probably the Marvel 700 free comics.
Yeah.
But still impressive. Still really impressive. IDW is reissuing the Max. I was just admiring on the shelf in Brett's house here. He's got the big Max statue, Sam Keith the Max.
That's right. I had to work.
Been out of print for many, many years.
Yeah, that's my pride and joy statue right there.
It's a great statue, beautiful statue.
We're taking a picture of it. That'll be a show picture.
Sam Keith is overseeing the remastering and recoloring of the whole run. It will be issued. Right now we're hearing that it'll be trade paperback, hardcover, and artist edition, which will be without the text.
So IDW, that
artist
seems interesting.
Edition without the text, and that seems really crazy.
I just got poor.
Simply via osmosis, it's just happened. Yeah,
it is. They were great, and unfortunately, I mean, they are one of the ones that was too pretty for the paper it was being printed on.
Oh, absolutely. Because that paper, when they first came out, that was bad paper. Yeah.
I actually can't wait to see it digitally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I love reading digital because you get those clean, crisp, lighted things where paper isn't a.
Well, it didn't say it didn't say it's going to be available digitally.
I would assume it would.
I think it's pretty good with that.
That's a good question. It's something that came up when I was reading an old John Byrne comic digitally, one of the Supermans, and I was reading it on Comixology, and I'd read those books. It's one of the ones that's uncollected. So I'd only read it in the original print from the late. It was the Supergirl saga, so 1989.
That's not collected.
Uncollected.
Holy it's never crap! Been,
they're almost there. If they keep doing the Superman, the John Byrne Man of Steel trades, which are doing his run, and when Ordway was working with them,
I seem to remember a collected edition years ago from that.
There is not. It has never been collected.
Hell, they're just getting around to doing the Grell Green Arrow finally.
Yeah, we've been complaining about that for years.
The first 15 years of issues in the fall, and that's it has never been collected, which is unbelievable.
Yeah.
But I'm reading that and I'm thinking that this stuff digital, when you don't have that grain of the paper, it's almost like when you first saw Blu-ray and it was cleaned up too much and everything looked a bit flat. And or like when you first, when CDs came out and they were a little too clean.
Saw The Hobbit. It's too clean.
Mm-hmm. Right? There's no film grain to The Hobbit.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's film grain. There's the paper grain, and there's that. I'm not obsessed with the feel of the paper or anything in that part of the experience, but it just looks a little strange to me when I'm looking at it.
I mean, I don't know. I don't. I generally read on Comixology only on my computer. I don't read it on my phone because my phone's very, very small. And my tablet's so old that I don't use it. So, I mean, on the computer, it doesn't come across strange to me.
Yeah, it's just, it hasn't been that much, but it's, I mean, I did have the same experience when I looked at, and when I bought the Visionaries collections of Byrne's Fantastic Four. And maybe it's just his art style, that the way that stuff was colored is kind of more old school. More flat colors because the process wasn't the same as it turned into in the 90s with the more complex color palette. So it's a bit more open art style, probably more flat fill colors as opposed to tonal colors.
Hmm.
What else we got? Amelia Cole number 9 comes out on Wednesday. I was just asked by the colorist of Emily Cole to put that in the news.
All right. No problem. Any other Twitter questions then?
I got two more little news bits. I want to correct something I mentioned on the podcast a couple weeks ago. We had talked about the digital... The Guided View Native is what Comixology is calling the Batman 66 and Infinite... type, and I talk about Valentine, which I thought was the first comic that came out in that format. There is one earlier, and it's got a way better name than anything that's been used before for that format, so I think it's what should catch on. It's what we'll use from now on, because it is awesome. A French artist named Balak, early 2009, so about 8 or 9 months prior to Valentine coming out, introduced playing with this idea of use slideshow, basically, of how a slideshow could have bits come in PowerPoint, and said, what if you did that in a comic and had little bits appear at a time in layers? And they did a comic, and this individual did a comic called Turbo. So these could be called Turbo comics.
Nice.
I told you.
I actually like Balak comics.
Balak's pretty good, too, but I think Turbo comics.
I like Turbo. Let's go with it.
And most importantly, it doesn't give credit to Mark Waid, which I really like.
Mark, let it go. Creator. Good writer.
And this is the least comic booky thing I'm ever going to put in the news, but it was too awesome to leave off because I don't know if you guys knew. It was just announced. This is a Saturday that we're recording this. It was just announced today at the Star Wars Celebration that Star Wars Episode 7 will have music by John Williams.
Ah, excellent. Yeah. That to me is still Star Wars comic book related enough and important. That's good to hear.
And important.
And just because I just found out about it, let's just mention that Captain Canuck, the web series, funded successfully on Indiegogo months and months ago, and is available. So, now, if you're a Captain Canuck fan, as many of us on this podcast are, check it out.
I never read it.
Really?
I will, yeah. I've never read it. Brent, have you? Did you read it?
Maybe I've read an issue or two, but not much.
Yeah, yeah. So really? two of you are a big fan.
I read it over and over as a kid.
I love Captain Canuck.
Yeah, it
was one of the first comics I ever read.
Yeah, it never came up when I was a kid, honestly.
But you did just have a chance to meet the creator. What's his name, Richard Cumley?
I did, Richard Cumley, who created Captain Canuck. He was in Calgary for a signing, and I had the pleasure of meeting him. He's actually the final of the core creators that I hadn't met. Claude St. Aubin, who continues to ink, be an inker. He's done a lot of work for DC in the last few years. Met him at a show a few years ago, and George Freeman, who just worked on that Mars Attacks book that we all hated. Not Mars Attacks, Dinosaurs Attack. I also met him at a show a couple of years ago. They were the core people. Freeman actually was also serving as editor and was recruited by Marvel Comics but didn't want to live in the U.S. And chose to just live in the middle of nowhere, Canada, and continues to work freelance.
I think an understandable choice, anyways. So how'd it go?
I was great meeting him. It was really cool, and had a great chat with him, and he signed all my books. He was impressed that the Captain Canuck Summer Special. He was the fifth signature on that, including Dave Sim, creator of Cerebus, who did a pinup. Tom Grummet, who artist on Superman for many years, who also did a pinup. And just a good guy. He's a really positive man, and he's kept Captain Canuck alive for a long time. When others might have moved on with other things, but he's continued to find ways to get this character back in, and it is, you know, Canada's really most prominent creator-owned thing after Cerebus, I would imagine.
Yes, possibly, yeah.
And Captain Canuck represents Canada much better than, say, Guardian.
I suppose Essex County would also be.
Or Cerebus.
I said Cerebus. Yes. I said after Cerebus, but Essex
no,
County.
No, but I mean... What, Chris?
I don't know if Cerebus... Yeah, Cerebus doesn't...
Canuck, you know, definitely
Cerebus doesn't exactly represent a Canadian spirit in any sense.
No, nothing about sitting around drinking beer that seems Canadian.
I would do that. So this beer's starting to hit me already, so this will be good. Let's go get some wings before I get completely wasted. But as we go out here, we are just going to... We'll just ask for... We'll all send it out on Twitter. Hopefully we'll get some more questions here. You never know. People sometimes on Saturday night are busy and they won't see their Twitter. So we'll just see if we get any other live questions. We'll see it out. So we'll all send it out again. Let's go order some wings, and we'll be back in a moment to you guys. Seamless. Talking some comic book video games from the 16 and 18-bit... Or 16 and 8-bits era. Like I say, the alcohol hit me. 16 and 8-bit era. You know what actually hit me? The chocolate bunny.
I think that's like 18% actually. I'm feeling it heavily.